The theme this month has been following Jesus, making Jesus Lord. So tonight, are you ready to get into God's Word? All right, making Jesus Lord. And you know what? I'm part of a Saturday night outreach group that shares the gospel one-on-one in downtown Tulsa. And as I'm ministering to somebody on Saturday nights, the question I often ask is, are you going to heaven one day? Are you going to heaven one day? And for the person who answers yes, I proceed to ask, how do you know? And the responses oftentimes are, because Jesus is my Savior. And maybe somebody recently has asked you that question, are you going to heaven one day? And maybe your response was yes. And maybe they proceeded to ask, how do you know? And probably you said, because Jesus is my Savior. A month ago, or maybe a year ago, or maybe 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And friends, yes, Jesus is to be your Savior, the one who rescues your life from the grip of sin. That's what Savior means. He rescues our life from the grip of sin. He is the one who has rescued us from eternal hell. But more than just Savior, Jesus Christ wants to be your Lord. And we'll be talking about this tonight. Jesus Christ as Lord. So tonight's text is Matthew chapter 20, verse 34. But we're going to back up to verse 29 to read it in context. Matthew chapter 20, verse 29. And it says this. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Verse 30. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Verse 31. The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus stopped and called them. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. Lord, they answered, we want our sight. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Followed him. It seems to me in studying this passage, this account, that the two blind men had more than just head knowledge about Jesus. You know, many feel that they, because they know about the life and the ministry of Jesus, that they are saved. Some people out there that will tell you, yeah, I believe in the existence of Jesus Christ. That he came to this earth 2,000 years ago, was born as a baby. He started his ministry at 30 years old and went to the cross at 33 and died for our sins and was raised up after 3 days in the grave. And because they know about Jesus, they feel that they are saved. But you know what? This is no different than knowing about Ronald Reagan or Bill Gates through a biography or autobiography. That's all head knowledge is head knowledge. And maybe you've thought like that because you know about Jesus that you were saved. But here it is. Why do I say that the two blind men had more than just head knowledge? Why do I say that these two blind men in Matthew chapter 20 had more than just head knowledge about Jesus? Because of how they addressed Jesus three different times. They said, Lord, in verses 30, 31, and 33. Lord, again, Lord, and then Lord. And it says, when they heard that Jesus was passing by. They heard that Jesus was passing by. It's almost as if they had this heart connection with Jesus. They knew more than just about Jesus. They had a heart knowledge of Jesus. They had a heart connection with Jesus. They had a spiritual connection with Jesus. They had friendship with Jesus. And it's the same for us tonight, friends. We need more than just head knowledge about Jesus. We need that heart knowledge about Jesus. We need that spiritual connection with Jesus. We need friendship with Jesus, God the Son. Is that making sense here tonight? They addressed Jesus as Lord. They were saying, in essence, Jesus, you're the one to whom our lives are fully submitted. You are the one, the commander, the one in supreme authority over our lives. And because of that, we address you as Lord. Is that making sense here tonight? We have to have more than just head knowledge. We've got to have this heart experience with Jesus, this heart knowledge, this spiritual connection with Jesus Christ, who came to the earth 2,000 years ago to die for our sins so that we would not have to die in hell eternally. That's the gospel. That's the good news. These people, these two blind men, their lives were submitted to the lordship of Jesus. And because they were submitted to His Lordship, they received the miracle they were needing. What miracle were the two blind men needing? It's so obvious. What miracle were they needing? What was that? Physical sight. They were needing physical sight. And I've said it before, but it bears repeating tonight, that God is not obligated to bless anybody who is living in rebellion to Him. Anybody who is living in rebellion to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, God the Father is not obligated to bless. And could it be that you haven't received your miracle yet from God because maybe you're somewhat living in rebellion to Jesus? Doing your own thing? A lot of people have this mindset in the world, and maybe you've had this mindset, that this is my life, and I do with my life what I want to do with my life. Nobody and no thing's going to tell me what to do with my life. Well, guess what? That's a rebellious attitude. That's an attitude of pride. And the Bible says, James writes, that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. The two blind men in Matthew chapter 20 were what kind of men? They were humble men, and because they were humble men, the grace of God was poured out upon their lives. They received the physical miracle of healing that they were needing. Do you understand that here tonight? Is that making sense here tonight? All right. So if you're needing something from God, if you're needing a miracle from God, but you live with the mindset that I do with my life what I want to do with it, guess what? You may not receive that miracle. You've got to be submitted to God. You've got to surrender your life completely to God, Creator of heaven and earth. You've got to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus wants to be your Savior, but He wants to be so much more than just Savior in your life. He wants to have that friendship with you, that heart connection. Is that making sense? So what does Lord mean? What does Lord mean? When these two blind men address Jesus as Lord three different times, what does the word Lord mean? From the original language, Greek, in which the New Testament was written, the word Lord is kurios. It means supreme in authority. Let me say it again. Lord means supreme in authority. It means controller. Controller. And these two blind men were telling Jesus, Jesus, You're the one supreme in authority over our lives. You are the controller of our lives. Your employer. Think about your employer. Maybe you work for somebody 8 hours a day. Maybe 5 hours, maybe 2 hours a day. But your employer say that you work 8 hours a day for is your authority for the hours he is paying you. Is that making sense? Do you agree with that? If somebody is paying you for 8 hours, that person is your authority. You do whatever he asks you to do as long as it is legal and ethical. If he tells you to clean the tables, guess what? You clean the tables. If he tells you to take out the trash, guess what? You take out the trash. If he tells you to vacuum the floors, clean the floors, you clean the floors. If he tells you to haul the limbs to the dumpster, you haul the limbs to the dumpster. Whatever your employer asks you to do, that you do. Because he's your boss for that 8 hours. Is that making sense? Well, guess what? Jesus wants to be the big boss over your life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Let me say it again. Jesus wants to be boss with a capital B in your life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, say for instance, say if your boss says to you, I know you've worked for me 40 hours this week. but I need you to work Saturday. And to transfer this, to transport this tool, this item, from this location with my truck to 10 miles away on Saturday, I'll give you $300. That'd be nice, right? He's offering to pay you $300 to work about two and a half hours. That's good, right? You'd say what? You'd say, yes, sir, and what would you like me to wear? I think I would say that. How about you? All right. Jesus is so much greater than a boss with $300. When he says jump, guess what? We need to say to Jesus, how high do you want me to jump, Jesus? By his Spirit, he is with us in this room tonight. Think of your life like an automobile. Now listen to me here tonight. Think of your life as an automobile, as a car. Maybe up until this point, you've been driving your life. You've been controlling your life. Maybe you've been in the driver's seat of your life. Maybe you've had control of the steering wheel in your life. Guess what? There's somebody else who wants to be in the driver's seat of your life. And what is his name? Jesus Christ, God the Son. He wants to be in the driver's seat of your life. He wants the steering wheel of your life. So guess what you've got to do? You've got to humble yourself like the two blind men. You've got to humble yourself and slide on over to the passenger side and let Jesus be in the driver's seat of your life. Could you say amen to that?
Amen.
Your life is like a car, like an automobile. So how do you make Jesus Lord? How do you make Jesus Lord in your life? I want you to think about this. We're going to go back to the two blind men. How do you make Jesus Lord over your life? How do you make Jesus Lord over your life? All right, she says, ask him in. Anybody else? Confess him. Anybody else?
Obey him.
You make Jesus Lord by faith. Faith in the one that you cannot see. You make Jesus Lord, the one supreme in authority, by faith. What is faith? Faith is believing in someone or something that you can't see with your eyes. That's what faith is. And that's how you make Jesus Lord. Saying, Jesus, my life has been my own, but at this point, I'm giving my life into your hands. I transfer control of my life from my hands, Jesus, to your hands. Be my friend. I want to be your friend. That's faith. Now think about the two blind men. The two blind men. Didn't they have faith in a Jesus that they could not see? They were physically blind. They knew he was near. They knew that he was in their presence, but they couldn't see them they couldn't see him physically with their eyes. But yet they had faith enough to call him Lord. Is that making sense? But the day came. The day came when Jesus touched their eyes and they saw him face to face. And they followed him physically. It's got to be the same for us, friends. We can't see Jesus with our eyes, but we need to put faith in him, though we can't see him like the two blind men. And the day will come when you leave this earth and step into heaven, and you will see Jesus face to face. Is that good news here tonight? All right. So how do you make Jesus Lord? By faith. All right. Finally, in what areas of your life does Jesus want to be Lord? In what areas of your life does Jesus want to be Lord? He wants to be Lord over every area of your life. It's easier said than done. But number one, Jesus wants to be Lord over what you do with your body. What you do with your physical body. You can either submit to the world's ways of dealing with your body, or you can submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ with your body. How do you submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in reference to your body? By doing what the Word of God says to do with your body. What does the world say to do with your body? Those who don't follow Christ. What does the world say? The world says, you know what? If there's alcohol at a party, at a gathering, drink until you get drunk. But if you've had a weakness with alcohol and it's being served and you're tempted to drink, what does the Lordship of Jesus Christ say to do? Turn your head and maybe leave that gathering, that party. Don't be tempted to drink. Because your body, if Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, your body is God's temple. And if you're getting drunk, you're abusing the temple of Almighty God. Is that making sense? What does the world say to do in reference to your body? It says if there's an attractive woman out there and she's not your wife, go ahead and sleep with her. If she's seducing you, go ahead and sleep with anybody you want to sleep with. That's the way the world says to think in reference to your body. But what does the Lordship of Jesus Christ say to do with your body? What does the Lordship of Jesus Christ say? It says reserve that for marriage. It's only to be done with your spouse. So if somebody is seducing you out there, guess what? Pick yourself up, turn away, and walk out of that atmosphere. Leave it. Cut communication with that person. Is that making sense here tonight? If you've been stealing with your hands, Paul writes in Ephesians 4, if you've been stealing with your hands, steal no longer. Do something useful with your hands so that you can help others. That's the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So the Lordship of Jesus Christ, number two, over your what? Your mind. You can either submit to the world's way of operating with the mind, or you can submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ regarding your mind, right here at the very top of you. How does the world say to think? How does the world say to think? Anybody have any ideas? The world says to think about me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. It's all about me. I'm the center of my own universe. That's the way the world says to think, those who are not following Christ. What does the Lordship of Jesus Christ, how does it tell us to use our minds? It tells us not to think about me, myself, and I. It tells us to step out of ourselves and help somebody else in need. Is that making sense here tonight? Paul writes to the Galatians in Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. When somebody offends you, or somebody offends somebody in the world, how does the world say to think in regards to an offense? Retaliate, get vengeance, get even, strike that person back. But if Jesus is your Lord, how does He tell us to use our mind in reference to an offense? What does He say? If somebody offends you, forgive your offender. Because God ultimately is the judge. God will make it right. Is that making sense here tonight? So is your life submitted to the world, or is it submitted to the Lordship of Jesus? Number three, in your spirit. You can either submit to the world's way of operating, or you can submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, how many here like to know about their future? What the future holds? Anybody? Anybody? A lot of us would like to know what maybe the next year holds, or the next 2 years. And a lot of people in the world, to find out what their future holds, what do? They consult palm readers, astrologers, horoscopes. And I've even heard a Christian say once before that, you know, we can look at horoscopes and kind of get a message from God through that. I don't think so. That is of the devil. You don't do that. That's playing around with evil spirits. Is that making sense? And if you open up your spirit to fortune tellers and astrologers and horoscopes, you're opening up your human spirit for the devil to wreak havoc in your life. If you want to know what your future holds, you've got to consult whom? The Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you, and He will tell you accurately, 100%, what your future holds. Is that making sense? The world says, go to palm readers. The Lordship of Jesus Christ says what? Submit to my spirit, and I'll speak to you. Is that making sense? In your words. In your words. You can either submit to the world's ways with your words, or to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The world uses all kinds of four-letter words, right? They stub their big tongue. What do? They use a four-letter word. And some people are just like sewers, cussing all the time in the world. And maybe you've come out of that. But if Jesus is to be the Lord, the one in control over your words, guess what? You've got to watch your language. If something bad wants to come out when you're under pressure, do what? Just zip your lip. Don't say anything. Is that making sense here tonight? So I'm talking about submitting to the Lordship of Jesus over every part of your life. Remember tonight, who's in control of your life? Is it you or is it Jesus? Jesus wants to be more than just Savior. He wants to be Lord. Say it with me tonight. Jesus wants to be more than just Savior. He wants to be Lord over all my life. Controller of every part of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm here to tell you tonight, friend, that God has got something wonderful for your life. He's got a miracle. He's got something good in store for you. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose for your life. But guess what? You won't experience the goodness of God unless you submit to the Lordship of Jesus, unless you surrender your life fully to God, the Creator of heaven and earth. Remember, God is not obligated to bless anyone who is living in rebellion to Him. He's not obligated to bless anybody who is living in pride and saying, stay out of my life, I want nothing to do with you. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Let me read one last thing here from the speaker's quote book concerning Jesus. From A.W. Tozer, The Root of the Righteous. A real Christian feels supreme love for the one whom he has never seen. Talks familiarly every day to someone he cannot see. Expects to go to heaven on the virtue of another. Empties himself in order to be full. Admits he is wrong so he can be declared right. Goes down in order to get up. Is strongest when he is weakest. Richest when he is poorest. And happiest when he feels worst. He dies so that he can live. Forsakes in order to have. Gives away so he can keep. Sees the invisible. Hears the inaudible. And knows that which passeth knowledge. Do you have faith in the one that you cannot see, like the two blind men?